Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. I'm Dr. Avila, and this is Love University. Today, we have a special show that will change your life to begin with.
Wait a minute, Reggie. You're not Dr. Avila?
Oh, no. I'm just something for you, doctor.
Okay. This is the real Dr. Alex Avila, and Reggie is my engineer, and I told him I would give him a chance to take over the show someday, but I think you got a little bit ahead of yourself. But today, we are going to actually do something different. Love University, we talk about loving yourself, others, and higher power. And each week we have on guests, and we talk about different tips and strategies for developing your self-esteem, your love, and your relationships. But today, I want to go back to the roots. And in fact, Reggie, I want you to interview me today. Are you up for that?
Yeah, let's try it.
Okay, let's do it. Okay, I know. You're my assistant professor in training. So I want everyone, our listeners, to really understand what we're about at Love University. And by the way, Reggie, we've had some amazing news recently.
Oh.
Our numbers are up, amazingly so. We're up over 300% over the last 2 weeks in terms of listenership.
Wow.
Yeah, we've had a lot of great guests and great content, and we're really building a great community of people. And I want to give people a kind of an inside look at where I come from. Dr. Avila, a psychologist, author, and speaker, and where I developed this Love University concept of really spreading love to others and changing the world in many ways. So Reggie, without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to you. So you are now the professor, and you're interviewing me. So let's begin.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Avila. I hope I can fill your shoes. All right. So, let's get ready with the basics. What makes you who you are?
Well, you know, Reggie, when I was a kid, a child, I used to love to read. I grew up as an only child, and I would actually walk 1 mile to the library to get books. And I would just read like 10 books a week. And I remember I used to love to read Mark Twain, the novelist, American novelist. And I used to love to read biographies about famous people like Thomas Edison and short stories by O. Henry and others. And I really fell in love with words, and I realized that words have tremendous power. So later I've become a writer and author myself. I've written 4 books, and I do a lot of public speaking, and of course the podcast. And the idea that words can really enlighten and heal people and transform came to me at a very early age. And even as a young boy, I was about 10 or 12 years of age, I was writing little epigrams, which are little wise sayings, and I sent them into magazines. Of course, I never got published, but at least the effort was there and the desire to really kind of inspire people. So from a very early age, I had this this mindset to do that.
Right. Wow. Well, that's very, that sounds kind of like me. I loved reading growing up, and I still read myself, so.
Well, that's great. Cool. So you're a reader too, Reggie.
Yeah, I try.
Okay.
And so how has a failure or a parent failure set you up for later success?
Well, Reggie, when I was a kid, I was actually introvert and shy. I was an only child. So my books were my friends. And I didn't really have that many friends. I didn't date much in high school. But I was happy. I was very content. I was number one in my class. I was captain of a lot of different teams, chess club, and things like that. But one thing that really helped me is that I decided to transform myself. I decided to develop my inner and outer abilities. So I learned public speaking. I took classes in public speaking, acting, psychodrama. So I developed improvisational acting skills. I became a great salsa dancer. I know, Reggie, you're a great salsa dancer, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, at least I'll teach you. So I gained confidence that way. I did martial arts and other physical training. So as a result, I started to develop more confidence in myself. Also socially, met more people and developed relationships and friendships. And I started to work eventually with shy people. And I wrote this best-selling book called The Gift of Shyness, which actually was the first to really talk about shyness as a positive trait in terms of dating and relationships, where shy people often are great listeners, they're sensitive. The other thing that we have, and I still consider myself to be a transformed shy person, is that we're very self-conscious. And I call it the observer, that part of us is always looking at us and saying, you know, you're going to make a mistake talking to that person, you know, we're going to judge you and criticize you. So I teach shy people how to develop the actor part of their personality, which is more the outgoing side, you know, the confident personality type, the charismatic side. And the other thing is we talk about introversion. Now, introversion now is a hot topic, but I wrote about it back in the days with Get the Shyness. And introversion has to do with energy, where you get your energy. So introverts get energy within themselves through their own thoughts and through spending time thinking and writing and meditating. And introvert people, especially in dating and relationships, like quiet times. Dates and you know, activities that revolve around maybe walking on the beach, a restaurant, being with a few friends, a few people. Originally, I've been assigned to be a blogger for actually the number two dating site in the world, which is called Plenty of Fish. So I've been working on some articles for them and blogs. And I do talk about the introvert personality in terms of relationships. And the key is to embrace their introvert nature. You know, introverts can be very talkative at times, but then they get tired. They need to recharge their batteries, take a hot tub, and, you know, relax a little bit. And in relationships, that can be an issue if they don't respect each other's style. Sometimes the extrovert says to the introvert, you know, why don't you want to go out and socialize? You're just such a couch potato. And the introvert says to the extrovert, and why do you want to go out with so many people? Who do you love more, them or me? So I talk a lot about that in my books, Love Types and Guy Types, basically how to embrace who you are and then resonate with the people that you're with in terms of relationships.
And again, that sounds like me. I'm very, very much an introvert.
Well, you're by meaning me, right? You're Dr. Alex in training, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Except you have a nicer beard than I do, I think.
Oh, so. Thank you. So how important is love in your life and how do you define it?
Well, you know, the whole basis of Love University is the idea of love. And I think it's a crucial concept. It can be romantic and sexual, but it could be also spiritual. It could be friendship love. Even love between animals and humans. You know, people love their dogs and their cats and their animals. So love is, I consider, a force, an energy of healing, of positivity, and of growth. And I always give the example that in life, to be happy, the key is to give loving energy without expectation. Smile at people, you know, say nice things, you know, that are to build their character. Be positive, be a good listener, maybe help the homeless or be charitable. Whatever it is that you do, give it without expectation, because many times we expect the other person to like us back or to give us something back, and then we feel disappointed. But the key is to be like what I call be like the sun. The sun always shines, right? The shine on the so-called ugly, the beautiful, the rich, the poor, the young, the old. And the sun shines on everybody. And of course, some people may not like the sun, right? They may cover up and, you know, put on their umbrella. But the sun doesn't get mad or sad or disappointed. The sun simply shines. In the same way, shining that loving energy that we have inside us everywhere without expectation is one of the most beautiful and powerful things we can do. And that could really make a big difference in life.
And what would you say is the biggest problem in relationships today, and how do we solve it?
Well, Reggie, you know, I talk a lot about the incompatibility factor. Also, the dating masquerade. You know, people meet each other in the very beginning, and they have a mask on, psychological mask. And, you know, they may be attractive or charming, but then the mask comes off, and many times we find out we're incompatible. And I've been there myself in a long-term incompatible relationship, and it ends in heartbreak and suffering. We realize that, you know, this person may be a good person in their own right, but they're not your match. They don't fit with you. They're not compatible. Whether you're maybe a feeling person and they're more logical, or you're more practical and they're more imaginative, and you don't understand their mindset, they don't understand yours. Or you're more spontaneous and they're more structured. And again, it's hard to work that out sometimes. Now, the book Love Types, which I wrote, the classic bestseller, and then eventually Guy Types, which came out last year, the new version of it, I do talk about how to find that right person by asking simple questions. The four magic questions, for example, what do you do in your spare time? The person, the introvert, likes to stay home a lot and spend time with a few friends. The extrovert likes to socialize. So that can be a big issue, introvert-extrovert combinations. And of course, the key is to respect each other's style. Maybe you are with someone who's different in some areas, but there's still a lot of love and a lot of compatibility, but maybe there's one area that's challenging. You need to respect that person's personality. The person that's maybe spontaneous is kind of messy. Maybe they're just all over the place, and the other person's very structured and like the things, everything in their place. If they love each other, they can learn how to accommodate. You know, give the person who's spontaneous a little bit of messy time and try to help the structured person get organized. So there are many ways to work it out. But the key is to find the compatible partner. But before that, you need to be accepting of your own personality. For example, I know, George, you're a sensitive kind of guy. You're a feeling male. And, you know, I am too. And, you know, we're kind of rare. We're only a third of the society, right? Now, don't cry right now, Reggie. I mean, you're getting tearful, right? Okay. But, you know, we may not be always accepted in certain places. Or even the female who's very thinking, very logical, may not be so-called traditional style. But the key is we need to embrace who we are, our personality type, and then as we do that, we are more comfortable in our skin. We embrace ourselves, and then we can attract that partner, that love partner, or that friendship, whatever it might be, who resonates with our style. Instead of trying to force it, many times people force relationships. You know, they want a person that they're lonely, they want to fill a gap in space, but they don't wait until that right partner comes to them based on their personality.
What is one of the biggest investments you've ever made, and how did it pay off?
I'm paying your salary, Reggie. You're a great engineer. A
very good investment, I might say.
That's a good point. But actually, Reggie, you know, what I believe is the best investment for me, and I think for a lot of people, is wisdom, knowledge. You know, every book I've bought that I've wanted to buy, you know, $10, $20, a course, a seminar, $1,000, $100, whatever financial money I put into it came back tenfold many times, especially in the psychological and spiritual self-help area, because it helped me change, helped me transform, helped me enlighten me so I could be more, help more people, do more in my life. And I know I've had a lot of students and readers and clients who've done the same, you know, even through this podcast. You know, this podcast is free, but you have to invest your time. See, and sometimes time for a lot of people is even more valuable to them than money in our society, because, you know, we live in a very fast-paced technological society. Everyone's on their phones and other tablets, and just taking out, you know, this is 20, 30 minutes of your day, you know, once a week, whatever it might be, can really make a difference. You know, so investing in knowledge, investing in wisdom, I believe has been the best investment I've ever made and still making. I have 4 graduate degrees. I've been in school a long time, but I love it. You know, I love to learn. I'm still learning even right now as I speak to you.
Wow, well, I'm flattered. If you could tweet only one phrase to the world, what would it be and why?
Well, again, the phrase I love, and I use this a lot on the podcast, is to extend loving energy without expectation. And what that really means, it's a very practical term. It's not like an airy philosophical idea. It's not necessarily romantically based, but it basically means to be kind, compassionate, empathetic to other people without expecting anything back. Again, smile at that stranger that you meet somewhere, you know, at the coffee shop, or make a nice compliment to someone in a kind way. Listen to your friends with full attention. How many times do we not listen to people with full attention? You know, we kind of like listening, but we're checking our phone or we're thinking of something else. That can be the most compassionate thing to do. Maybe helping someone financially, someone who's hurting, a homeless person or even a friend, giving them a ride, whatever it might be. But again, without expectation, without that expecting that they'll give anything back to you, because that liberates you from conditional love. And we know the term agape, which means unconditional love, which means, in a sense, this idea that we're giving love without expecting anything back. And if other people do the same, we would have an amazing world where people would give love without expectation to each other, and eventually it would come back.
And what do you do to balance yourself when things get overwhelming?
Well, I mean, I have a physical movement. I still do some martial arts, physical training, play some sports. I also like to spiritually study, whether it's read books, listen to tapes, and also think, you know, just think deep thoughts about life and the meaning of life and love, and kind of like take a little break from the everyday life. And many times at nighttime, I found this is the best time. You know, nighttime, everything's calming down. The frantic activity is relaxing. This is a good time for me to reflect and meditate on, you know, what life is about and how we can spread more love and more positivity. And of course, being with loving people who are very positive, people who are grateful, because I think gratefulness is a tremendous trait. When we're grateful, it brings a passion to us, a peace of mind and a joy. You know, just being alive at this very moment, I'm grateful that I can talk to you guys right now. I'm grateful that we're together, me and you, Reggie, for my friends and family and everyone else. So that beautifulness of being with grateful people is a tremendous uplift.
It really is, you know, really gives you perspective. And so what's the best advice you can give, a young person starting out, B, a middle-aged person in their prime, and C, an older person finishing up their life?
Well, for a young person, I would say find your don. And don is a Spanish term that means God-given gift, or your natural gift, your talent, your ability. And it might be just being a good friend. It might be being a writer, teacher, scientist, engineer, artist, business person, being a good parent. Whatever it is that comes naturally. Maybe you're a good cook. I know, Reggie, you make some tamales, right, or some enchiladas or something.
I try.
Yeah, whatever it is that you're good at, that you love to do, I think that's what you need to develop as a young age. Sometimes younger people, you know, try to find a career for money, or even though they have a passion, they're not fully committed to it. And what I say to younger people is find something that you love to do that you also are great at or good at. Because you might be doing something you love to do, but you're not very good at it, which sometimes happens. Or you love it, or you're great at it, but you don't really love it. That's another possibility. Some people have a talent, but they're not really into it. So find something that you love and you're great at, which I think you have found, Reggie. You're a great engineer and you're great in the radio business.
Thank you.
Now, for middle people, middle-aged folks, I would say it's never too late. Because sometimes people get in a rut, whether it's a relationship, it could be a marriage, it could be a career that they don't really like as much, they're incompatible with it. They may even suffer. They may be in an abusive marriage or relationship. You can change. You can, if you need to transform yourself, maybe leave the relationship or the job or the situation, start a new career, go back to school, whatever it is you want to do in life. You know, go to the Himalayas and meditate or travel the world. You know, there's something that maybe is inside you that you've always wanted to do, but you got into a rut. You can still do it. It's never too late. You know, we have a lot of famous people, successful people that have started late in life, you know, businesses and scientific and creative ventures. Now, for elderly people, people now in their later years, the key is to leave behind love. Because you're not going to leave behind much, you know, materially. Maybe, you know, there's an inheritance, but that money will be spent. But being a kind-hearted person, maybe helping the younger folks, you know, giving them your advice, your memories, and your love. And that's really what people remember about you the most. That you were a loving person. And of course, you know, if you believe in an afterlife, if you have a spiritual belief, that's an important thing to think about, your faith. But also what you leave behind in terms of that entity called love. That's the most beautiful thing.
Is there anyone who you'd consider a superhero? If so, like, what special characteristics make you call them that?
You know, Reggie, I like the Marvel series, you know. I think you do too, right? All the superheroes and X-Men and those kind of things.
Yeah,
they're a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. You know, we have Superman, you know, Batman, you know, people that can jump and strong. And even people that can control people's minds. I think some of those people have that, right?
Professor X,
right? But one superhero I've never seen, which I would love to see, is what I call the love hero. Let's say someone that has the letter L on their back, right? Not for loser, right? For love. And what they do is they bring love into situations. So let's say their bank robber is about to rob and kill. They would appear and give the bank robbers love and empathy and compassion. Hey, you know, what if that was your mom and dad behind the counter you're about to shoot, right? Mm-hmm. They would change, you know, the whole thing would change.
Oh, yeah.
Or people are about to get into war or even domestic violence, whatever it is, this love hero pops in and gives compassion and love to the people.
Sounds kind of like Captain Planet.
Is there such a thing as that?
Yeah, that's an old show from the 90s. It's Captain Planet and the Planeteers, and he has like 4 or 5 kids, and they have like the different elements, power of the elements, and one of them has the power of heart, which is like love or whatever, and they try to find peaceful resolutions to problems.
That's amazing. I mean, you're a trivia expert now. You brought the good things here. So everyone, Captain Planet, okay? That's going to be an interesting series. So that's a great idea. So basically, you know, if we had a superhero like that, that would be amazing. Because we have other superheroes that, you know, maybe destroy and even kill, in the name of good, mm-hmm. you know, or justice. I mean, but to bring love, that would be the amazing one.
So I really think so. That would be cool. You don't see many love-themed superheroes. That is really strange. I never noticed that.
Think about it. Yeah. I mean, sometimes superheroes are more dangerous than the villains, right? They're more destructive, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I didn't watch Man of Steel, but I heard like he caused like billions of dollars in property damage at the end of that.
That's not good, right? So all the warriors are happy, right? But besides that.
Well, speaking of destruction stuff, I think this segues into our next question. What is humanity's biggest fear and how do we overcome it? What will happen to me?
Well, that is the biggest fear, Reggie. You know, people always worry, what's going to happen to me? You know, am I going to lose my money? Am I going to lose my love, my looks, my health, and eventually my life? So worry, anxiety, and fear. People always worried, what's going to the next day bring? Is it going to be bad? Is it going to be good? So what we need to think about is that fear is one of the rulers of the world, but there's an antidote, and that is called love. And you may have heard the phrase, perfect love cast away fear, which means that, you know, a higher love, whether it's a spiritual love or love for your family, love for, you know, life itself, can take away that fear. You know, having faith that, you know, you're going to accomplish something good in life, that you know, you're going to live a full life. You're going to leave behind a positive legacy, again, of love or compassion. And when we talk about love, sometimes people get the wrong idea that it's sentimental, it's even weak, but love can be very strong. And sometimes we even have something called tough love, where let's say someone has an addiction and maybe they're not listening to you with nice words. You need to be tough, right? Give them a kick in the pants, right? Hey, this is what's going to happen to you if you keep doing this. You know, you're going to have these problems and maybe even die. So love can be very strong at times. It can be very unrelenting and be even critical in some ways. But the overall purpose is to help, right? To heal and to transform. So I do believe that if we bring more love into that, more faith, more positivity, we can take away the fear that people have. And that really is what can change the world.
Well, on a very different note, what is your greatest accomplishment and what can our listeners learn from it?
I think my greatest accomplishment is something that's summarized by a simple phrase, and it is to make love visible. So whether it's, you know, I have a son, I've created a child, now a young man, that's a great accomplishment to me, you know, and that's love made visible. The books I've written, you know, the four books now, counting five coming up, have also helped change a lot of lives and has brought love to people and transformation. That's something that's made visible. Anything that I've done on a personal level, through friendships and relationships where I've, you know, contributed in some ways, that is my greatest accomplishment. So I think if we think of it that way, that everything that you do, that you can take that love, that energy, that positivity, and make it visible, you know, make it real, whether it's volunteering at a shelter or being kind to your friends or even rescuing a dog or animal, helping people, doing whatever you can on a daily basis, that can make a huge difference. So I think if you were going to write that on the wall, I make love visible, okay, every single day in your life, whatever you do, even cooking, right? You know, you make food with love, right? Mm-hmm. The special ingredient.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes people are angry. You ever see people are angry, make food, and like, ugh.
Oh, yeah.
They
yeah.
make it, then it tastes kind of like.
Not a priest.
It tastes bad yeah. because they put anger in it, mm-hmm. Or they put fear or whatever else. But if you put love into it, you know how you've been in a meal, maybe even in a humble home, but the food tastes so delicious because the people are so loving, right? You know, that created the food, and they really put that essence into it. You know, your mom's home cooking, right? You know,
yeah.
grandma's home cooking, right?
Oh, yeah. See? That's...
it doesn't have to be fancy. They don't have to be rich or anything like that. But just a simple and humble love cooking, right?
Yeah, well, I guess it's not just a joke. Our mom says made with love.
By the way, we're getting hungry right now, I think, as we're talking about this. So we better switch the topic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, before you get too hungry.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, that actually brings me to my last question. In your career and business ventures, what are you working on now, and what are you most excited about?
Roger, I'm really excited about my newest book, and I believe it's going to come out around summertime. This year, 2018, mm-hmm. called Invincible You, Transforming Pain into Power and Living Your Heart's Desires. Because here I'm kind of culminating a lot of what I've learned and the research through the years of helping people move from pain to power, you know, from the obstacles that we have, whether it's ways of thinking, negative thoughts, patterns that we have, habits, whatever it might be, and developing what I call mental invincibility, you know, basically changing your brain so that you live with compassion, live with passion, live with patience, and joy on a daily basis. So I've integrated Western psychology, some of the things like positive psychology, like gratitude, optimism, Eastern ways, some of the compassion, mindfulness, and other aspects that help people find balance and find peace and also find that inner success. So it's going to be a very, very fun and kind of educational book when it comes out. And really the whole idea is summarized by actually a chapter in the book. It's called Rejoice, You're Part of the 7% Club. They've actually done a little research, and they estimate that there have been at least 100 billion people that have lived on Earth throughout humanity's time. And we currently have 7 billion alive. So that's about 15%. Wow. Or actually, no, it's more 7%. So I call it the 7% Club. So if you're listening to this podcast right now, guess what? You are part of the 7% of the living. Now, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
You know, you're not a ghost, right? You're not a skeleton, Reggie, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, you touch your finger, right? You touch your hands. Yep, what do you feel?
Flesh.
It's flesh and blood, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you can hear me. You can listen to me. That is a miracle. If you think about it, that is a miracle. You know, you're alive right now. You have like the sun is shining on you at this moment. And you can do anything you want to do. You can be anything you want to be. You know, you can travel the world. You can, you know, create something. You can be with your loved ones. Isn't that an amazing feeling, Reggie?
That absolutely is. It reminds me of one of the closing lines of the Hooper Blue Highway. It was a Dr. Seuss special in the 70s. It says, God bless you. You're a human. Have a happy, dappy. I don't know the exact like the Dr. Seuss phrase right there. Shining time life.
Roger, I didn't realize you're a singer and a host. Okay. And a lot of other things. Bro, that's a beautiful statement, by the way.
Oh,
and it's true, right? You're alive, right? You're beautiful. You know, that's the key. And again, this is not necessarily, you know, to be overly sentimental or anything like that, but it's basically to realize the truth that you have the purpose right now and the passion to do what you want. There's nothing to stop you. You know, people talk about obstacles and I don't have enough money, I don't have this. You have the greatest thing there is, which is life, right? To be alive, right? And that word life has so much power. So that's why if you infuse your life with love and positivity and growth, there's no limits. You know, you can accomplish amazing things and leave a positive legacy forever.
Wow.
Now, Reggie, you've been a blessing today. I mean, you have actually come in here. You've reversed the tables on me, right? You've actually interviewed me. Mm-hmm. You've learned some of my secrets and some of my knowledge, right? And things like that. And what do you think about that?
It was insightful, you know. It's just very interesting to learn about you, my employer, you know, kind of like on this, like on a personal level.
Well,
you know,
after more than employer, I'm your friend, Richard.
Yeah, okay? Your friend. My friend and employer.
Okay, well, you want a raise, I can tell that right now.
Well. I won't deny it.
Okay, so someday, right? Okay. Well, that's great, Reggie. So I do appreciate you reversing this for me, you know, and I think that's the key, right? Because empathy is reversal. Mm-hmm. It's putting yourself in other people's points of view. And I did that today, and you did that today. So Love University, again, is about loving yourself, others, and a higher nature. It is about being the best you can be. It's about helping humanity and leaving that lasting legacy. And if you want to reach us, and a lot of people are calling us and emailing us, you can send us an email at lovetype4u@aol.com. That's LOVETYPE, the number 4, the letter U, at AOL.com. Our website is loveuniversity.love. You can reach us at 310-226-8090. We have, I think, up to 400 comments I haven't even reviewed recently from a lot of this that we're doing for our blogs and other things. So definitely, you know, write to us if you want to be a guest on our show. Let us know. And until next time.
This is Love University with Dr. Avila and Reggie Peralta. And what's it called? Class is dismissed. So put away your notebooks. Get your backpacks ready and enjoy your recess.
I love that, Reggie. You know, you're learning more than I thought. Okay, Love University. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.